Kia ora, welcome to Focus on Politics. I'm Jane Patterson. Immigration has long been a hot button issue, especially when the population was growing at the rate of 50 to 60,000 through migration in past years. But things have gone very quiet with COVID-19 and border closures. Future immigration may look quite different as a result.
We've got an opportunity during COVID to have a rethink about our settings with immigration, with some of the challenges that we have with the likes of housing and some of the longer term challenges that we've got.
At the start of last year, as the pandemic unfolded, there was a rush of people back to New Zealand. That's now a trickle, as Infometrics' Brad Olson explains.
Since COVID's hit, we've seen that net migration spiked to possibly as high as 95,000 in the year to March 2020, as all of those visitors and others who came into New Zealand before we closed the borders, who we expected to leave, weren't able to leave. They were stuck in New Zealand. They stayed with us during lockdown and they became permanent migrants. So we've gone from having 60,000 falling slightly to about 50,000, massive spike up, an extra 35,000 per annum coming through around the start of lockdown. But we are expecting that net migration will fall quite considerably and is already on an absolute catastrophic collapse at the moment. Over the last 9 months since the lockdown occurred, we've seen that net migration has fallen to 630 people per month. That's down from over 6,300 in normal time.
Immigration Minister Chris Farfoy says the focus will be on getting New Zealanders working, not importing labour.
There will be some pragmatism needed in that as we transition to getting as many of New Zealanders into those jobs that we've traditionally relied on migrant labour. But when we make those decisions, we'll be thinking long term about the kinds of skills that New Zealand needs and how we get New Zealanders trained up to do those jobs and into those jobs.
You must have some idea, though, of the kind of numbers that you would be, you know, ideally looking at if this is a chance to reset building migration numbers back up, or do you open them to get the skill shortages?
This is not an objective to try and meet a target. It is about making sure that we long-term make moves in housing, education, to make sure that we give sectors the best chance of making sure that jobs that, again, have traditionally been filled by migrant labour, that we're training New Zealanders up to do that.
Rather than looking at a target in terms of net migration, is there a point at which you don't want the numbers to get to a particular point?
There are a lot of factors that go into, you know, arriving at this number that or calculation, and for us that also goes into the likes of housing, how fast we can build houses to house New Zealanders that are, and those who are already in New Zealand and those who may want to come to New Zealand as well. I think driving all of this is we've got an opportunity during COVID to have a rethink about our settings with immigration, with some of the challenges that we have with the likes of housing and some of the longer term challenges that we've got for some sectors who, whether it's easy or difficult for them, have struggled to get New Zealanders skilled for specific types of jobs.
Nationals leader Judith Collins says she doubts there'll be much appetite to return to skyrocketing numbers of immigration once the border starts to reopen.
One of the issues, the things that New Zealand needs to do, the government needs to do, is to think very carefully before they start reinstating the same sorts of numbers that they had before, but at the same time understanding that there are some industries and businesses where they have become very reliant on immigrant labour, and particularly those in the horticultural and agricultural area, and particularly around those registered seasonal workers. You know, it's REC schemes. So they need to be very aware of that.
But she says there are industries like horticulture facing genuine skills shortages.
They just want people who are, one, willing to work, secondly, able to work, and thirdly, in the right place to work. So they actually want people. And when people say, oh, you know, they should pay more and all this, it's actually just costing them losing fruit and losing everything else. And it also means that people need to understand that if they can't get staff to do the jobs, and they'll either need to automate or they will simply downscale. So we'll have lost production, lost export opportunity, lost income for the country, and the orchardists themselves, they will also lose. So we do need to get it right.
The Greens immigration spokesperson, MP Ricardo Menendez-March, wants to see a fairer system.
We need to move beyond a conversation purely on net migration figures. And one of the focuses that we should be looking at is ensuring that our immigration system is equitable and that people have access to A, fair processing times for their visas, and that be the visas that we're giving out should be certain parameters that don't discriminate people based on things like income, for example, which is something that we've been moving towards that has meant that people have different access to, say, bring their families or even just be considered high skilled.
But would the Greens be comfortable with the level of net migration pre-COVID levels? Would you like to see them higher, lower?
I think the conversation around net migration, and especially the approach that the government has taken around reducing net migration, has been around delaying visas to a point that a lot of people have not been able to come in, and I think that's an unfair approach to lowering net migration.
During the 2020 election campaign, then Māori Party co-leader John Tamihere pledged his party would halt all immigration into New Zealand until housing supply caught up with demand, with special exceptions for some migrants. The party is back in Parliament, but now co-leader and MP for Wairiki, Rawiri Waititi, is more circumspect.
At the moment, no, we haven't had the discussion, so I can't answer that question. But at this particular time, immigration is still too high. So they've got 83,000 people came across those borders between April and December last year. So, you know, we've got to look at actually how many of those were New Zealand residents, how many of those were permanent residents, and how many of those were not residents. The first thing we need to look at is the safety of Aotearoa, and for us as the Party Māori, is the safety of Māori. If you look at the Spanish flu and the impact that had on our people, huge impact in 1918. I've got tombs in Whanapanui that I can show anybody in terms of the impact of that. So my job here is to ensure that the safety of Māori is paramount when it comes to who's coming across their border and who's going out.
Booming immigration in past years has been blamed in part for putting more pressure on the housing market and other infrastructure. Infometrics' Brad Olson says a lack of adequate resourcing to match population growth has created long-term problems.
We know that over the last 5 years prior to COVID, with net migration running at 50 to 60,000 per annum, that was a lot of additional people coming into the country, and that was putting incredible pressure on our housing and a lot of our other infrastructural needs. We simply had more people coming into the country than we were able to cope with. And because of it, we did see that house prices were increasing at a very fast clip because there was so much competition and just simply not as much supply coming online. In a sense, although we now have construction levels that are starting to build at the pace that we need it to, we're still building through a decade or so of undersupply in the housing market. So although this construction boom at the moment is positive progress, we need that continue for a while yet before we actually get the housing issues that have emerged under control.
So is this a potential opportunity for the government to push pause on migration, or does the broader, you know, to maybe address those housing supply issues, or are there more pressing imperatives for the broader economy that you need to get those migration flows back up?
I think at the moment the government will be quietly quite pleased that net migration won't be running at its previous levels, given the current state of the border. And that will provide a bit more breathing room in the housing and building space to allow us to build through some of that undersupply.
When discussing the drivers of housing inflation at Parliament's Finance Committee, the Reserve Bank's Governor Adrian Orr and Chief Economist Young Ha talked about three dynamics they expect to cool the current market, one being a more recent and very unusual spike in the number of returning New Zealanders. They told MPs they expect house prices to start coming off the boil.
A lot of the factors boosting house prices we think have either diminished or turned around. So the reinstatement of LDRs, we've seen very high levels of residential consents that will lead to more construction and more supply, and also sort of the one-off impact from higher population pre-border closure. So those factors will diminish. And a scenario is that house price inflation will moderate consistently.
So the population one is one that, has been really fascinating and very historically different. There are a lot of Kiwis who are home when the borders were shut, and they've stayed home. Mm-hmm. And so we ended up with 150,000 more population.
And so you had 150,000 in terms of the New Zealanders who couldn't leave for their winter vacation, but it's been about 30 to 50,000 New Zealanders who have, I guess, technically classified as long-term migrants. So that's sort of a new, it's sort of we're learning about their impact on the economy.
Westpac Chief Economist Dominic Stevens also predicts a turning point for the housing market.
Construction activity is now booming.
population growth is much slower. What that means is those housing shortages are quickly receding right now. And actually, the rate at which we're building will be more than enough to keep up with population growth even after net migration recovers. So I expect those housing shortages to be gradually diminishing over coming years, which is socially a fantastic thing.
National's Judith Collins says the idea that cutting immigration will solve the housing crisis sounds good, but doesn't work in reality.
That's an idea, and it's certainly one that became popular during a lot of election campaigns, which was cut immigration and that will solve the housing problem. They did that in 2017. It didn't seem to make a scrap of difference, seemed to make it worse. And I think one of the problems that people forget is that a lot of people coming in to work on building houses are from overseas. And we need to ramp up the supply. And what we have to also remember is that we only have 5 million people here. It's not as though we are, you know, we don't have land, we don't have people, you know, we've got too many people. But we need people who want to work.
The Greens' Ricardo Menendez-March also disputes the suggestion immigration's been responsible for pushing up house prices.
What's been really clear during the pandemic is that despite net migration, or migration basically coming to a halt, house prices have continued to come up and median rent prices have continued to go up. And so this is evidence that the factors putting pressure on our housing market go way beyond net migration and have more to do with speculation. And those are the sort of things that we should be targeting if we're to put an end to the housing crisis.
One aspect of immigration is New Zealand's refugee quota program, under which New Zealand's committed to taking 1,500 UN-recognised refugees each year. It was restarted earlier this month in a very limited way after it was suspended last March. Chris Farfoy can't put a time frame on when New Zealand will be back to taking its full annual quota.
Oh, look, of course, everyone would like everything to go back to normal as fast as they can, but that is purely a capacity issue. Being able to start it up again in some way with the roughly 200 coming in by the middle of the year is a good start, but obviously isn't the 1,500 in a year that the government is committed to. Our ability to bring more in is really controlled by what we're able to do with the UN and getting people through their system and our capacity to get more people through MIQ. So they are the main constraints around that. And again, we've got to be mindful of New Zealanders and the capacity of MIQ as well.
So that might take quite a while to come back
to 1,500. I don't have that crystal ball, but I think it will take some time to get back up to 1,500. Again, it really is dependent on the capacity of MIQ and the ability to work with the UN to get people through their systems before they come to New Zealand.
So it could be some years potentially before New Zealand's able to make those quotas?
I wouldn't want to commit to a time frame, but I would be surprised if we could do that by the end of this year.
Judith Collins says, given the circumstances, New Zealanders' interests must be put first.
I think it's simply unsustainable to continue to bring in refugees at the numbers we have when we've still got New Zealanders having to be isolated and quarantined and we don't have enough places for New Zealanders to come home. I think what we need to do is, you know, to do what we can, but that's why I say things like the saliva testing and immunisation is absolutely crucial to us resuming and doing better than we have on all sorts of things. So in terms of refugees, yeah, I can imagine why refugees would still want to come to New Zealand, but I think first off, at the moment, we're still dealing with a pandemic. We still need to be putting New Zealand interests first. So, I probably wouldn't be rushing to go up to the target or the limit. I would be very careful about making sure that New Zealanders got home first.
But once the border's lifted?
Well, I think we'll stick to the same numbers that we had if we can. Again, we have to always remember that just about every time we bring in a refugee family, we have to house them in a kāinga or state housing system, and you can't bring people in without housing for them. So if we don't have enough housing for New Zealanders, possibly we need to be a bit careful about that.
In opposition, Labour used to be highly vocal about the high levels of net migration and New Zealanders being priced out of the market, accusing the National Government of using immigration to fuel economic growth. Up until COVID hit, things didn't look too much different under the coalition government last term. Net migration still in the tens of thousands and house price inflation rampant. With so much out of the government's control, immigration is an area it can directly influence, and the minister's laying the groundwork. Mr. Farfoy wants to dampen expectations that an open border means floods of migrant labour suddenly becoming available, especially when there are already New Zealanders out of work. His challenge will be to match the unemployed with the skills shortages already biting in many industries. The first signal of how the government intends to proceed is the review of the largest residence programme, the skilled migrants category. Mr. Farfoy says there's been a rump of applications at the lower end of the point scale, in other words, low skills, low incomes, which is not what New Zealand will be targeting. Another key change is employers being more involved. Government agencies would work with employers who identify specific skill shortages, and they are the ones to apply for visas, not the other way round. A change that will come in later this year. That's Focus on Politics. I'm Jane Patterson. Thanks for joining us. Mā te wā.